civil war that nearly eliminated the black population, looked like it would, caused one quarter of it, of the black population, to be removed from Sudan. One half by death, another one half by having to flee for their life. Over one half by death. Over 1.5 million blacks massacred in that Western imperialist attempt to destroy Sudan. While some 90% of the population is illiterate, since 1973 and the firm socialist course that General Emery has been able to take in the high command, it is being greatly reduced. For women, this figure even rose to 98%. Women, as in all Muslim Christian traditions, are generally regarded as emancipated politically. They have the vote, but not socially. They are no way freed. Women rarely enter public places unescorted. A riot occurred in Khartoum, K-H-A-R-T-O-U-M, where this historic African conference is meeting, when a young woman appeared in a miniskirt. She was nearly killed some years ago. In Khartoum, the streets are laid out in the pattern of the British flag, USA's willing lackey that imposed the racism in the first place by dividing the Arab light skin to the north and the blacks to the south of Sudan. The extreme northwestern part of the country, an area over 50,000 square miles, is virtually uninhabited, not valuable for soil production. A national hero is Muhammad Ahmed, A-H-M-E-D, Ibn, I-B-N, Abdullah, A-B-D-U-L-L-A-H, known as the Mahdi, capital M-A-H-D-I, a religious mystic. The Mahdi, or the Muhammad Ahmed that I'm speaking of, in 1881, proclaimed himself the accepted Mahdi, the Muslim word for Messiah, the second coming of God, and announced a jihad, J-I-H-A-D, holy war, to drive out the Turco-Egyptian occupiers of the country. His dervish forces, armed only with spears, swords, and knives, in 3 years captured 21,000 rifles, while killing or capturing 20,000 Turkish and Egyptian soldiers who were even more light-skinned and had imposed their bigotry on Sudan. In 1885, Khartoum, defended by British General Charles, Chinese Gordon they called him, fell. The British had occupied Egypt in 1882. 5 months later, the Mahdi died of typhus. The Mahdist, M-A-H-D-I-S-T, state remained independent until reconquered in 1898 by British colonialism and Egyptians led by General Horatio Kitchener, a brutal general, white general from England, K-I-T-C-H-E-N-E-R, who was served by a young officer named Winston Churchill, later Prime Minister of England, when Hitler was set up by a joint agreement of England and USA to try to destroy communism in the Soviet Union. Sudan is the world's leading supplier of gum, Arabic, gum Arabic, with 50,000 tons, 80% of the world's supply exported each year, which gives it its economic chances of survival. We were going to mention one other nation, I believe it was Spain, so I'll get back to that in a moment, after telling a little history of one individual who was a socialist and a communist, and then, like some of our former members, became disillusioned, traitors, and even one of them dead. The American novelist and short story writer I'm speaking of by the name of F. Scott Fitzgerald, F period, S-C-O-T-T, capital F-I-T-Z-E-R-Z, F-I-T-Z-G-E-R-A-L-D, F. Scott Fitzgerald. Scott Fitzgerald's earlier novels and numerous short stories, plus his own self-indulgent lifestyle after giving up his Marxist thinking at an early age, made him the personification of the Roaring Twenties. He only lived to be 44 years of age, a generation of flaming youth. He was born in St. Paul to a prosperous family, then rebelled and became a member of the Progressive Farmers Party, a socialist party, attended Princeton, and served in the Army during World War I. The publication of This Side of Paradise when he was 24 brought him instant fame and the money to enjoy it, but it didn't bring him happiness. His marriage to Zelda Sayre, S-A-Y-R-E, or Sayre, the same year was hailed as the romance of the century, and their extravagant escapades amid fashionable society in the USA and in Europe enhanced his reputation. Fitzgerald became an alcoholic, and his alcoholism contributed to his image in the 1920s and to his downfall after giving up his socialist views in the 1930s. He was committing suicide on the installment plan, wrote Sarah Mayfield. If Scott took more than three cocktails, he was off on a spree that left him shot for a week. As Fitzgerald's drinking continued, his productivity began to decrease. His health failed, he became debauched with immorality, and his financial problems became gross and accumulated till they killed him. Zelda suffered an emotional breakdown in 1930 and was in and out of various mental hospitals for the rest of her life. She, too, had been a socialist. Fitzgerald went through his publicly confessed crack-up, that period when in a real dark night of the soul, it is always 3 o'clock in the morning. Day after day was his own quote about the hell that he was going through. He spent his last years in Hollywood receiving some comfort for the hell that he was living in from his mistress, Sheila Graham, gossip writer, working off and on as a screenwriter, producing magazine stories, and trying to write his unfinished novel, The Last Tycoon, which was published after his death. He died of broken heart in what appeared as a coronary heart attack at the age of just 44 years. Now the last of this too long rendition. I will be giving shorter ones in the future. As I said, when we show interest, some people have different interest levels and different things reach them. I found that from your evaluation papers, so I'm trying. And without knowledge, we can't be sensitive, and without sensitive, we can't be loyal to one another and protect these babies. If you can't see the happiness on these babies' faces and the seniors, the difference that this world has meant, you are dense, dense indeed. We must do all we can to protect it and get the knowledge about socialism and what socialism means so that we can maintain it. Now, where fascism dares to show its ugly head in a new Hitlerite period, Spain. Location in Southwest Europe, forming more than four-fifths of the Iberian, I-B-E-R-I-A-N, peninsula. It is bounded to the northeast by France and Andorra, A-N-D-O-R-R-A, to the west by Portugal, where that remarkable prison breakout, successful breakout of over one-half of the prisoners, was led by Red Militants, and the Atlantic Ocean. To the east is the Mediterranean, and 20 miles to the south, across the Strait of Gibraltar, the great, bright continent of Africa, that is yearning and burning to be free. How was Spain created? Settled gradually by successive migration of Celts, Iberians, Phoenicians, P-H-O-E-N-I-C-I-A-N-S, Greeks, and Carthaginians. It took the Romans to unify the peninsula about 218 years before Christ. By 1492, the kingdoms of Aragon, A-R-A-G-O-N, and Castile, C-A-S-T-I-L-E, were united through the marriage of Ferdinand and Isabella. The kingdom of Granada, G-R-A-N-A-D-A, was then released by the Moors, black civilization that almost conquered Spain. It was then released by the Moors to Spain. Granada was. Though the Pyrenees, P-Y-R-E-N-E-E-S, mountains, form a natural border with France, it was only in the 17th century that Spain relinquished territories in southern France and in the Low Countries, Portugal, part of which was a gift from King Leon of Castile to Count Henry of Burgundy, and proclaimed itself an independent state in 1140. Size of Spain, 195,985 square miles, barely twice the size of Guyana, with 38 times the population. The population is 35,600,000. Of that, 72.8% are Spanish, 16.4% are Catalan, C-A-T-A-L-A-N, and 8.2% are Galician, G-A-L-I-C-I-A-N, and Basque. That's causing the upsurge of fascism because the Basque nationalist and socialist are demanding independence, constitute 2.3% of Spain. Other races, only 3%. 97.5% are Roman Catholic, and the Roman Catholic Church of Spain is fascist as hell and is backing this new fascist upsurge of Sieg Heil's Nazi chants that we heard on the radios at 5:30 this morning. Who rules constitutionally, that is? Spain is a monarchy, at present without too much dependence on the monarch, though the monarch is in power. Legalization is initiated by the Council of Ministers, and in the past it was by dictator Franco, who was head of the state and had all power to veto anything. Generalissimo Franco really ruled Spain since 1939 until he was removed from the scene by death. He had other titles, Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces and Leader of the National Movement. Franco ruled Spain not through a monolithic power machine, but through the skillful balancing and suppressing of forces, which included the following: the Falange, F-A-L-A-N-G-E, the fascist, extreme right. Now, somewhat divided, it was thought to be discredited until last night when we see it horribly reunited. But it's still the only legal political organization in Spain for all those years of the dictatorship. The Falanges, F-A-L-A-N-G-E-S, power was eclipsed in the 1960s by Opus Dei, O-P-U-S, capital D-E-I, a Catholic lay organization whose influence is now declining rapidly. Monarchist, in a position of expectant semi-legality after Franco's death, it looks like we're, as I say, facing what could be a fascist takeover unless the communists get away from their revisionist practices. The Christian Democrats, which unfortunately has both conservative as well as radical branches, then there are socialists, communists, and anarchists, which are being forced underground again, looks like. In 1973, Franco relinquished the post of Prime Minister to the ultra-conservative Admiral Luis Carrero, C-A-R-R-E-R-O, Blanco, B-L-A-N-C-O, which means white in Spanish, who was subsequently blown to bits later that year. The Basque Independent Socialist Separatist Association took credit for the assassination. Instead, Señor Arias, A-R-I-A-S, Navarro, N-A-V-A-R-R-O, was sworn in to this second-in-line office in January 1974. The Spanish Civil War was one of the greatest feats of united labor-class socialist effort around the world. Many, many socialists, as you saw in the Golden Years, one of them, came from America to help the Spanish protect their government that they had elected, like Chile had elected a Marxist country. They had elected a Republican representative socialist government. And the Spanish Civil War was the result of a revolt by army officers led by fascist Franco, the arch-nationalist, against the Popular Front government, the Republicans, which was socialist. The one thing common to all factions, Republicans, monarchists, liberals, conservatives, radicals, fascists, socialists, the church, anarchists, the military, the communists, the peasants, and regionalists alike, says one capitalist commentary, was a stubborn refusal to compromise. The reforms undertaken or attempted by successive governments of the Republic were, in the last analysis, always too little for the left and too much for the right to accept. Enormous pressures from all sides led inevitably to the outbreak of the Civil War, which was backed by U.S. imperialism and Nazi Germany. In July 1936, USA and Germany was openly cooperating to destroy the socialist government of the Popular Front in Spain. 1 million people died in that war. It was a tragic, tragic war, in which Nazi military might was the only thing that enabled the small minority of fascists under Franco, F-R-A-N-C-O, to win. Traditionally an agricultural country, food products continue to represent half or more of the total value of Spanish exports, especially olives and olive oil, citrus fruits, cereals, grapes, wine, and sherry. However, tourism has rapidly become a major source of income as Spanish resorts have become increasingly popular with foreigners, due, it seems, to Spain's relatively cheap prices, which have begun to change of late because of the shakiness of all capitalist nations. Inflation has struck it, too, as well as USA. In 1974, however, over 30 million tourists visited Spain. Thus ends the commentary of News and Nations and one socialist who gave up his ideals and destroyed himself and died of a broken heart at 44 years of age, F. Scott Fitzgerald. Produce much for the sake of our people. Study well for People's Rally. There will definitely be a test tonight. Listen to the broadcast also. We want to prepare to have our broadcast with a guy in the broadcasting studios to go over the air at 6:15. I love you very, very much. At Moscow because of the Soviet Union's present policies in Africa and his treatment of dissidents. Thank you. Back to the news.